upholding the word of God. There are three things we are going to focus on today. First of all, is that we need to uphold God's word as a powerful substance of change. Praise the Lord. As God's word is very powerful, we need to uphold it as a tool for change for our lives. It does not change, but it changes things. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 33 and verse 6, that by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. We're talking about the power of God's word. The heavens was made by the word. Praise the Lord. And then also the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 that the walls were framed by the word. Through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. I want us to look at that into detail. Hebrews chapter 11. What does it mean when it says the walls? Praise the Lord. By faith, we understand the walls were framed by the word of God. So that the things that which are seen were not made of things that are visible. Things that we see are not made of things that were visible. The word for that, I think it's either Hebrew or Greek. Ex nihilo, out of nothing. Praise the Lord. Whatever we see exists came out of nothing. So faith understands that the invisible God created the vast universe. Praise the Lord. The invisible God created the vast universe. So that is what faith understands. And that by the word of God, the world was framed. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. That is what Genesis 1:1 tells us. In the beginning, children, what does the word of God say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Praise the Lord. God created the heavens and the earth. Praise the Lord. And then it continues to tell us, go to the next verse. The Bible tells us, now the earth was formless and empty. The earth was what? It does not have shape and empty. And darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Praise the Lord. Let there be light. Let there be earth. Let there be trees. Let there be this. Let there be. He spoke, and it came to be. The power of the word. Praise the Lord. We need to uphold the word of God because it's a powerful tool for change and creation. The word creates. So, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 to 7, the Bible also tells us something about how God framed the world by the word. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, continue, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. Huh? So the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept. They are preserved. The word is preserved. It's the word that is holding the heavens in its place and the earth in its place. It's the word of God that is holding creation, every element in its boundaries. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the word, by his word, he has held the clouds not to all be released. Praise the Lord. He has created limits and boundaries for where land should be, and where water should be, and where everything should be. So, everything is kept by his word. He can destroy it. God can destroy it. Just like that. But everything is held by his word. The Bible says, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition for ungodly men. I want to read from my from here, 2 Peter. I want to read from my translation. 3 verse 7. The Bible tells us, but the heavens and the earth which are now preserved by the same word. Let me go back establish the context from verse 1. God is, here Peter is talking about the nature of God's patience with us. Praise the Lord. How God is patient with us, giving us time for repentance. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle in both of you, both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. These are scriptures. And of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now, in this verse, that scoffers will come in the last days. Those who mock the word of God. Praise the Lord. These are scoffers. Those who mishandle the word of God. They will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. Are you hearing? They're walking according to their own lust. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this, they willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water, by which the world that there existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing us any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the question was the issue of the coming of the day of the Lord. There were some groups of believers that had become slack, that had become lazy, because when Jesus was taken to heaven, their expectation was that Jesus was coming back soon. You know, they started expecting Jesus from the New Testament, from the days of the early church. Are you together? They started expecting him to come back. That was the last days. And that's where the last days started. The last days is a period between when Jesus ascended to heaven and when he's coming back again. Are you together? So now Jesus has not yet come back again, so we are still in the last days. But they started expecting him to return since then. And then Peter here, now is talking as an elder, is warning the Christians, saying, in these last days, there are people who are going to come. People who are going to mock the word of God. First of all, they will question so many things about the teachings of the scripture. And then, in this context, is addressing the issue of God's word is not reliable. Because there are people who thought Jesus said he was coming back But when is he coming? Why is he not coming back again? The Bible says that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? He said he was coming. But why is it not happening? Praise the Lord. Why is it delayed? Now, Peter is helping us to see that this God who promised is still faithful. He is not slack concerning his promise. God has not become lazy. God has not forgotten about his promise. What he has promised will come to pass. But the reason why it seems God has taken long is because he wants us to come to repentance. Praise the Lord. That answers the question why when some people ask, why doesn't God kill all the sinners? Why doesn't God destroy all the wrongdoers? Why doesn't God destroy everybody who is disobedient? Praise the Lord. Why doesn't God destroy all the ghosts? Why doesn't God destroy all the thieves? If God were to destroy everyone like that, some people would not be here. Praise the Lord. But if God gives us time, the Bible says he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's giving us avenue. He's speaking to us in our dreams, through radios, through friends, through songs, through the songs of the choir, through sermons, through different means. What he wants us to do is to come to repentance and follow him. And then we understand that this same word of his promise is the same word with which he created the world. And that word holds everything in constant. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you know this is a source of consolation for us? Because knowing that God is not only holding the world, but holding your life in his hands. What confidence does that build in you? Knowing that he holds you with the word of his power. Praise the Lord. So the worlds were framed by the word. And the worlds is preserved by the word. By the word of God. Preserved by the word of God. Praise the Lord. He told Noah that as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest time shall not what? Cease. And he said, I will no longer destroy the world by what? By flood. Praise the Lord. That was his promise. Did it change? No. So that promise he made still preserves us. I know you hear of catastrophes, you hear of death, killings there, that people want to wipe up everyone in the world. That people want to kill everybody in the world. Reduce the world population. World depopulation agenda. All together. But somehow, God kept us. They wanted to kill Africans, want to kill many people here, but somehow God kept us. That's the power of his word. Praise the Lord. The Bible also tells us the gospel. The gospel is the power to salvation. The word of God is powerful. It brings us salvation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible says, I am not ashamed, that's the Apostle Paul. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the next verse, the righteousness of God, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, why was Apostle Paul talking about not being ashamed of the gospel? Not being ashamed of the gospel. What does the word gospel, first of all, mean? The word gospel comes from an old English word. Combined, two words combined. God's spell. Praise the Lord. Someone say God's spell. Like you know, you hear the word spell and God. Praise the Lord. God's spell. The spell from God. Word of God. The good news. Has to do with good news. Praise the Lord. So, the gospel speaks of the life of Christ and the mission of Christ. Praise the Lord. And how that benefits us. How that applies to us. And now, in the ancient Rome, the gospel was looked at as something to be ashamed about because the gospel underwent persecution. The church was persecuted for the gospel because the pagans never believed. They questioned themselves, how would a man who died naked on the cross be able to save a soul of another man? Are you together? Praise the Lord. They never understood the meaning of the death of Christ, the meaning of the blood of Jesus. They asked themselves, how would somebody who died on a cross, and mind you, it's the Romans that killed Jesus. The Jews betrayed Jesus, and it is the Romans who killed Jesus. Jews killed by stoning, but the Romans killed by making you a spectacle. They kill so brutally as a means of demonstrating to other people who have intention to overthrow the government, who have intention to do wrong in the community, to be scared away. Are you together? That's why they kill so brutally. And they actually kill you by hanging you naked. So that, and everywhere they begin to see, this is the man who did that. This is the man who did that. And Jesus died the most shameful death in the hands of the Romans just for the sake of our salvation. Now, the early church faced a lot of persecution because they were being mocked at. They were being laughed at. When you're preaching in the name of Jesus, when you say, I'm a Christian, the word Christian itself was a nickname. When you say, I'm a Christian, people will laugh at you and say, see this man who believed on that guy who was hanged on the cross. Are you together? It was something to be ashamed about. So sometimes, you don't want to identify openly with the cross, with Christ. That means you are not identifying with this message and what it represents. So Paul says, I am not ashamed. And Apostle Paul himself persecuted the church for believing in Jesus. Until he had an encounter with God himself. And now he comes to a place when he understood the power of the word. He understood the power of the word. The supernatural power in God's word. And it's something to embrace. He understands the word as something to embrace. The gospel of Christ as the very life that gives us salvation. Said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's verse 16. I am not ashamed. In other words, I identify with the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the teachings of his life, of his death, of his resurrection. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, God has chosen preaching to be the means, the preaching of the gospel of Christ to be the means of salvation. Praise God. Do you know why God confirms his word with miracles, signs, and wonders? Because God honors his word. Wherever his word is preached, God backs it with miracles. God backs his word with results. Because his word is power unto salvation. His word is power unto salvation. It's the power of God to salvation. To who? To everyone who believes. Praise the Lord. To the Jew first, then also to the Gentile. The Bible says, for in it, for in the word, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness of God. The right standard which God wants us to live by. What gives us favor with God is revealed from one dimension to another, from one degree to another. The Bible says, from faith to faith, as written, the just shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. So we need to uphold God's word as a powerful substance of change, because the word of God is powerful. Bible tells us here that in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's power, it's the power of God for our salvation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So your faith must rest on God's word. So in John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus himself talking to his disciples said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. In other words, it's the spirit that gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Praise the Lord. What does that mean? The word of God is not just mere words that have been written by man. We saw that it's inspired by God himself. And I'm going to share with us later how God speaks to us in different ways. But I want you to know that the very words of God we see here has, this is what we call the written word, that is the Logos. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and alive. There is Logos, and then there's what? Rhema word. The Logos is the written word, the principles. Are you together? And now God also speaks to us. Rhema out of the Logos. Hallelujah. God speaks to you in your daily life. Now that is Rhema. Out of what has been written. The Logos. Praise the Lord. Now it says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What must we do as people of God? We need to learn to speak God's word into our life. We need to appropriate God's word, receive God's word, believe it, love it, and live it. Say to your neighbor, believe it, love it, live it. Say it again. That is the word. Believe it, love it, live it. Live by the word. Love the word. Believe the word. They are life. Praise the Lord. That's why we will not catch you trying to speak what God has not said about you. You know, every time the enemy wants to beat you down in life, he'll make you say what God does not say about you. He makes you agree with what God has not said about you. God has said, you are blessed. Who else can say you are cursed? If God has said you are the head and not the tail, who else can say otherwise? So where have you got that information that you cannot make it in life? When God says, You are above and not beneath. That I've blessed you. Hallelujah. Someone say, I'm blessed. God is on my side. I am favored. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The second thing we're going to see. Why we should uphold the word of God as an authority in our life. Because God's word, number two, God's word is a spiritual weapon of victory. Someone say, God's word is a spiritual weapon of victory. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 14, it tells us that my word will be like a fire in your mouth. Jeremiah, one of the prophets that was mightily used of God. God told him that my word will be a fire in your mouth. Praise the Lord. Wherefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I'll make my words in thy mouth fire. Excuse me. And these people would and shall devour them. Hallelujah. This is God empowering his prophet. That I will make my words in your mouth fire. Praise the Lord. It's not saying they say that literal fire. Fire literally, that when I speak, that you see fire. But whenever you see the symbol of fire, speaks of purification. Are you together? Purification also speaks of judgment. Praise the Lord. Purification, judgment. So when God says, I will let, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and these people would, it shall devour them. Here God is referring to his word coming as a judgment and a purifier. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The word of God devours what is not right. Destroys what is not right. The word of God punctures our pride and burns away chaff, burns away useless thoughts from our minds, from our hearts, from our life. So many times we have a lot of thoughts, a lot of heaps of rubbish on our head. But the word of God comes and devours all of them. Sometimes big fears in our hearts, in our minds, are devoured by the word. Praise the Lord. The word of God swallows them. That's why if you want to lead a fear-free life, stress-free life, is a life in the word. Praise God. If you are feeling very discouraged in life, you have so many evil thoughts, wrong thoughts in your head, first ask yourself, are you reading the word of God? Are you properly listening to the word of God? Are you properly meditating on the word of God? When we don't do that, that's when we have those feelings. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the word brings stability in our lives. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, the Bible says, the word is like a fire and a hammer. It breaks the unbreakable. Hallelujah. The Bible says, my word is like a what? Now these are the words. Is that the one? 23, 29. Jeremiah 23:29. Okay? Are you there? Is not my word like as a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Praise God. God's word is a spiritual weapon of victory. We saw that, number one, it devours what is not right in their lives. But also, that word is like a fire. It consumes what is contrary to God's will and purposes and breaks limitations in our life. Praise God. It's like a fire, it's like a hammer that breaks rock in pieces. Do you know Mutalima? If you have gone to Guadalajara, you see how people break rocks. Are together? But imagine that type of hammer which breaks big mountains and break it down. That even small hammers that people use, it can accomplish a lot. But the Bible talks to us that the word is like a hammer, breaks the unbreakable. Praise God. Is my word not like is not my word like as a fire, said the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? That means no matter how hard something seems to be, the word can break it down. Praise the Lord. No matter how something seems to be complicated, there's nothing the word cannot devour. These two things, fire and hammer, can neutralize, can destroy anything in this world. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Someone say fire and hammer. Are we together? Tell me, what fire cannot destroy, a hammer will destroy. Are we together? What fire cannot destroy? First, imagine anything. Praise the Lord. A building, the whole mighty God La Roe has been reduced by hammer. Small hammers. Come on, God, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's not even the hammer of God. It's not even the one we are talking about here. Praise the Lord. Do you know how God, Lord, was big? What about Kidere? Was reduced. Are you together? Every day, people. Even when it speak like what? Talk, 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 we'll break it. Praise the Lord. And God is comparing his word with what? Hammer. And God is comparing his word with fire. That means his word is powerful. Hallelujah. Someone says his word is powerful. Hallelujah. The word of God is so powerful in our lives. When tempted, Jesus used the word to overcome temptation. And you know what God wants to do? Use the word to overcome temptation. Use the word to break resistance in your life. Amen? Because it's powerful. And then use the word to overcome temptation. When you see in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 to 11, when the devil came to Jesus, first of all, tried to lure him, to abuse his power, to appeal to his pride, and then to dishonor God. Jesus kept saying, it is written, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
But the devil said, worship me, and I'll give you all these things. Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God only. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. The devil took him to the pinnacle of the temple. Said, jump from there. It is written. He will give his angels to take care of you. The Bible says, Jesus said, it is written. They shall not what? Tempt the Lord your God. Praise the Lord. So Jesus had the word for every temptation. Because the word was in him. We are told that at 12 years old, Jesus would already reason with the elders in the temple, the word of God. You know, the reason why sometimes so many situations beat us down is because we don't respond by the word. Hallelujah. From this week, I want you to learn to respond by the word. When anything happens, let's allow God to help us to respond by the word. Correct by the word. Correct children by the word. Correct by the word. Can we do that? Can we do that? That means every day you need to at least learn what does the Bible says about obedience, forgiveness, about love, about every aspect of our life. Praise the Lord. We are going to resume our home cell fellowship. And one of the things we are going to want to spread a lot is the culture of reading scriptures about different life issues. Are we together? Praise the Lord. But you can start that individually by at the back of the Bible there are concordances. Are you together? You find what the scripture talks about, love, forgiveness. Huh? So learn to respond to life situations by the word. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. We say it is our weapon for spiritual victory. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Now sometimes when we hear some intercessors pray, now you take the sword of the Spirit. Now, quite daily, we are going to pray. Put on the belt now. Okay? Take the sword now. Or put on the helmet. Put on the helmet. Praise the Lord. Those are gears you don't just put by putting. The Bible tells us, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, the sword of the Spirit is not something you're going to look for it when war starts. You're not going to look for it from somewhere. Are you together? You're not going to look for it from somewhere. Are you together? Pray for me. No. It has to be in you. Praise the Lord. So that when moments of battles come, you just pick and use. Pick and use. Pick and use. That means every day you should be sharpening your sword. Getting the word in you. Getting the word in you. Getting the word in you. When the enemy comes in, when a situation comes in, when doubt comes in, you pick and sharp. Praise God. That's how we live a victorious life. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, the Bible says, the word of God is quick and what? Powerful. It is sharper than the double-edged sword. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is sharp, and we overcome by the word. 1 John chapter 2 verse 14. We overcome by the word of God. Say, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him. That is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you.
And you have overcome the wicked one. Why have you overcome the wicked one?
Why do you overcome the wicked one?
Because what?
The word of God does what?
Because the word of God abides in you.
The word of God stays in you. If you want to remain a victor, to walk in spiritual victory every day, let the word of God remain where? Let the word of God remain where?
Some of you are very slow in responding.
Let the word of God remain where? Praise God. Now John is talking to groups of people. He said, I've written to you fathers.
You have known him, that is, from the beginning. That means you have walked with him. You have followed his word.
And now, he's talking to the young men, youth. So I've written to you, young men, because you are strong. Physically, mentally. Huh? And the word of God abides in you, and you overcome the wicked. Now, what he's talking about is, he's talking in the affirmative. He's talking in the what? What he wants to see them do. Not as though they had already done it. Are you together? But what he wants to see them do. Why? Because one of the challenges of young men and young people is that they wrestle with so many things. You fight so many thoughts. You fight so many attacks. You fight so many spirits. There are so many things that resist you, that you fight. That the devil is after you. The devil is after the young generation. Are we together? What does he want to do? He wants to corrupt your strength. He wants to divert your energy in the wrong direction. That's why you find a young person with a talent of music, dancing all night in Buganda pub, coming back when he's very foolish and dull. Are you together? Trying to show that he has skills here and there, and then smoking marijuana, messing himself, and singing nonsense, and people are happy about it. That is talent being wasted. Are you together? That is gift being wasted. Now, John is telling us, you are strong, and you overcome the wicked one. How?
By the word of God abiding in you.
The best thing you can do for yourself as a young person is to allow the word of God to be in you. Praise the Lord. That's why we thank God our children in Sunday school, they're learning scriptures. Let's keep learning more. Praise God. Because if the word is in you, it will teach you. When the right time comes, it will help you in life. Praise God. Now we overcome the wicked one because the word of God abides in us. Let it be part of you. Let it be part of you. Finally, know that God's word was written for your benefit. Some have said the word of God was written for my benefit. Some have said the word of God, it's for my benefit. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 tells us that it was written for our learning. For whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
Hallelujah.
For whatsoever things were written, that is the word of God, the scriptures. We are written for what?
For our learning.
For our what? So God wants us to learn from where? In the scriptures we learn about God, we learn about ourselves, we learn about the world. We learn about what he wants us to do. Now, through patience and comfort of scriptures, we might have hope. Through the different circumstances that have, because there are things you might learn in scriptures. You hear, you know the promises of God in scriptures. But the circumstances of life also come around your life. You can read scriptures and cram scriptures and know it all ahead. But living it is another thing. So many times, God allows circumstances of life to come around us to test His word in our life. Are you together? When He's testing how we apply, how we respond to situations when we are squeezed. I'm praying for us that when life squeezes us so hard, what will come out of us will be the word. Praise the Lord. Do you know believers here? We all look holy, we all look good. But do you know when certain things squeeze you? When life becomes complicated. When poverty squeezes you. When financial crisis squeezes you. When certain things squeezes you, we make many funny noises. Sometimes what will come out will shock you. If you are squeezed like this, what will come out? Tate karo biya biya nyoka ni bi ngomu karo. Humu kere kalara wa kek. Lev wa kek. Hallelujah. But when you are squeezed, let the word come out. Let sweetness come out. Let faith come out. Hallelujah. You never know what is in you until life squeezes you. Hallelujah. I don't know even how many people are understanding what I'm talking about. But you never know what you're made of until life squeezes you. But God wants us to have the word in us. That when life begins to squeeze us, put us in undesirable places, we will still reflect Christ. We shall still bring out substance. The word of God is for our benefit. Hallelujah. It's for our learning, for our comfort. It builds hope in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. The Bible says the scriptures were written for our admonition. Now all these things happen unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. For our admonition. For our guidance. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the same, in the name of the Son of God. The word of God is written so that we may believe in the name of the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. God has also given us His word for us to believe. John chapter 20 verse 21. Then Jesus said to them, peace be unto you. As my Father had sent me, even so I send you. Continue. And that saw it. No. Not that. Okay. Okay, leave that. He that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he know that he said it true, and that he might believe. I think John 21. Talk to us about these things about Jesus was written so that we might believe that He's the Son of God. Praise the Lord. So God is very interested in our faith. Someone say, God is very interested in my faith. Why? Because what to believe Your belief will affect the direction of your life. What you believe will affect the direction of your life. Do you know the devil wants you to believe lie so that your life is affected? God wants you to know the truth and live in freedom. John chapter 8 verse 32, what does it say? Children, John chapter 8 verse 32, what does it say? And you shall say it aloud, and you shall. Aloud, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? That means what you don't know will keep your life in bondage. In other words, your life is in bondage in the area of your ignorance. Are you together? Your life is in bondage in the area of your ignorance. In fact, ignorance will make you suffer many things. There are so many people who are suffering many things because they are not acquainted with what God says about them. A story is told, as I conclude, not those days when rebels came to one of the schools and they robbed the school. And then they abducted some children, some students. So one of the funders saw a kadogo and carried some soap. He carried something that looked like biscuit. Praise the Lord. No, after robbing. Okay, they robbed shops also, but then they also took things from students. They robbed some shop. So there was an afande who saw a kadogo carrying something. Said, bring that one here. He thought it was biscuit. So he offered it and beat it and found out it was soap. Hallelujah. He did not read that this is what? This is soap. But it smelled good. The smell was good. And the way it was packaged looks good. And then, you know, when it comes out, the way it looks like something eatable. Not something for bathing your body. The man, praise the Lord. There are so many people who are abused, misused, misguided, confused because of the ignorance of the Word of God. But from today, I am praying for us that God will help us to hide His Word in our hearts. Now that we have understood that the Word of God is a powerful tool of change and a spiritual weapon for our victory, and it benefits us and our next generation, God is calling us to do three things. Believe the Word, love the Word of God, and live it daily. Let's stand on our feet. I want you to talk to God to help you, to guide you, that it will help you to respond by the Word to every life situation you go through. Hallelujah. That the Word of God will become the core of your life. The Word of God will become the core of your life. That everything you do will be based on His Word. And that you will learn to respond to the Word of God to every circumstance of life. I want you to lift your voice and begin to talk to God. Maybe you're here and you're going through something complicated. You're going through challenges. You're going through battles of life. Battles in your mind. You're battling unforgiveness, battling bitterness, battling people who are coming against you. What does the Word of God say? I want you to ask God to help you to respond by the Word. Not respond by emotions. Not respond by your mind. Maybe you're feeling bad because of how the whole thing was handled, how you handled your life. But God wants you to respond by His Word. In the name of Jesus. Lord, give us the grace to respond by Your Word. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice right now.